Hi, I'm Ryan LaPlante, and I'm one of the crazy founders of Dumb Dumbs and Dice, the production company that's made the video you're watching or the podcast you're listening to right now. Now, we're clearly busy. We're producing 5 weekly podcasts, a 6th event podcast, video event one-shots, and an additional video D&D campaign. But we want to take this time to invite you to become a part of our company and a part of our Patreon at patreon.com/dumbdumbdice. You can get access to our Discord, access to exclusive DM and character chats. You can get the chance to name characters in our shows and vote on the way their stories will progress. You can even become a recurring NPC and hear yourself interacting with our characters each week through the voice of Tom. You can become a patron for as little as $1, and there's great value for you at even that level. So please, join the Dumb Dumbs and Dice family and help us make even more content in a way that you are guaranteed to love. That's patreon.com/dumbdumbdice. D-U-M-B-D-U-M-B-D-I-C-E. So let's do something dumb together, and thanks for being part of our stories.
I am Executron, god of merchandising, and I came into existence because Dumb Dumbs and Dice has its own merchandise. That's a god pun. Get it? Dice? Merchandise? Anyways, you can get t-shirts, hoodies, spiral notebooks, clocks, wall art, throw pillows, bags, and even stickers emblazoned with your favorite Dumb Dumbs and Dice characters and their catchphrases. Go to redbubble.com/people/dumbdumbdice. That's D-U-M-B, D-U-M-B, D-I-C-E. One more time for the mortals in the back, redbubble.com/people/dumbdumbdice. Get your merchandise today.
Welcome back, children of the night, to Blood and Syrup, a Vampire the Masquerade live play podcast. I am your host, Count Vlad von Lestat, drinker of blood, keeper of the chronicle, and all around the spooky dude. The coterie have been forced into Billy's maze and found the end to be a trap. Iris used her precognitive abilities to keep Ridley alive. Everett refused to leave Harvey behind. And Ridley tried to do something clever before failing and being forced to make a last stand alongside his allies. Abandon hope, all ye who listen here.
So you expected to find many things in the sewers beneath Montreal, but rolling monstrosities full of ill-defined features that seem to have once had a vaguely humanoid form, but have now become a writhing mass of a sticky black goo and occasional teeth and eyes. We're not on the itinerary for things you would find in a sewer, and yet here we are, trapped in Billy's maze as Everett and Iris. You face down two of these creatures as they come through the only two exits to this space. So we're in a large kind of circular switching station. There is the raised bridge behind you, which is on your side. You see kind of scattered around you are people who clearly have not fared particularly well against these creatures. So there's sort of an assortment of bodies, some in utility outfits, some in civilian garb. It's kind of hard to tell. You think you see like a police uniform. So kind of a variety of victims on this side. Up kind of at the top of this space, there seems to be a small office overlooking kind of an observation deck almost that's enclosed. And you're not sure, but you think you can see a lone figure moving around up there. So Billy might be watching all of this in person. But the two creatures have rolled in and they are blocking the two exits. Meanwhile, Ridley, the creature that was coming for you, there's a sudden metallic clang as bars shoot up through the ground and actually block it off. So as you stand there holding your battery, ready to make a defiant last stand, the creature slams up against the bars, hisses something guttural, and then slinks away into the shadows. So...
That's fucking nice. All right, bring him close here. Let's get fucking clever. And then I want to push the button that'll lower the bridge back down beside me, Tom, if I can.
Yep. So you push the button. You find that there doesn't seem to be any power. Billy seems to have cut off power to the switch.
Juice it with the battery.
Yeah.
Let's see if he likes a fucking taste of this. And then I'll just hook the battery up to both sides of the pole and then hit the button.
Okay, it's going to go very slowly because video game encounters, but also because it's running off less power than it normally would. But the bridge does slowly begin to lower. Iris and Everett, these two creatures have entered. Everett, you're a man with a gun, so that's a bonus. But Iris, this is pretty far outside your experience. What's going through your head right now?
I am just hiding behind Ridley. Just be like, I just tell me what to do, and I, because I'm no use to you right now.
All right, Everett.
Yeah, crouched behind Everett, because Ridley's stuck on the other side. Yeah. So you get in behind Everett. Everett, yeah, these two things are sloshing their way towards you. What do you do?
I want to start to climb this bridge. If it's up vertically, mm-hmm. I want to try and scale it.
Okay.
And I want to kind of assist Iris with climbing it as well, so we can get up together.
Thanks. Okay.
So say that again, Miles.
Well, it's slow. It's going down, but slowly. You still want to climb it?
Yeah. Which side is the bridge on, Tom? Is it on my
on
side going down? Their side going
there,
down.
There
is,
it's up on their side, so it's coming down towards you.
So that when it does come down, we'll be right there with Ridley, and if we can get up high enough, fast enough, Everett can aim his gun at fucking Billy in his little high castle there. Tell him to fuck off. Stop fucking around with these weird ghouls.
Yes, AMC's classic, the Billy in the high castle.
Yeah.
Excellent. So, Everett, you begin to climb. Go ahead and roll me a strength in athletics, please. Okay. Iris, I assume climbing this this thing isn't really your style. It's more of a let him climb and then assist you. Is that...
I mean, I'll try.
Okay, cool. So give me strength and athletics as well, please.
Pendant lady.
Oh, it wasn't a comment on your gender, more so that normally I feel like Emily would go ahead and you'd have to go and press triangle to get hoisted up.
Yeah, I was just asserting that she's independent.
That's three tens and a nine.
Are any of those on hunger dice?
A nine was the hunger die.
Ah, just a regular success.
Just, so nice.
Bullshit.
Ryan is the Lorax. He speaks for the fans. Okay, so, Everett, you start to climb kind of using the safety railing, kind of clawing your way up. You look back over your shoulder to see how Iris is doing. Iris.
I got a 5 on my one and only dice, which was a hunger dice. Because strength and athletics is my suit.
Fair enough. So you very strongly and independently fail. but it's also just like this is an insane thing to have to climb. And I feel like Everett's kind of been in enough weird physical scrapes where this... I mean, after being chased out of town by, like, vampires in the woods way, way back when you first got turned, like...
As a detective dressed as a 1950s noir PI, I have climbed a fire escape or two. You know, it just happens.
Yeah, it's that's how you get your license.
Yeah.
So, you look down and you see Iris trying to climb and... she's kind of making okay-ish progress, but honestly, with it moving, not really having good hand and foot holds, she's having a hell of a time. So I'll say you've successfully climbed up. You can either try and help Iris or you can take a pot shot at Billy.
I'm going to try and help Iris.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll reach down and I'll say, Iris, give me your hand.
Okay.
Iris presses triangle. all right, so Everett, roll me another check, please.
Just one success that time.
Okay, so Iris, you're about halfway up. So you're still kind of hanging, but at least you're not in kind of the Katamari Damacy rolling distance of death. from these things. They'll have to kind of climb up a little bit to get you as well. So the two of you are doing a full, like, you know, hanging on for dear life situation. Ridley, you're very slowly watching this stupid bridge come down.
I guess I'll wait. Oi, Billy, what the fuck, mate? What's going on? Well, you got to fucking do this. We can be friends. I got things you want. I just stole $100,000.
No. They must be fed. But also not harmed, which is why I put you on that side. But if you could please take your finger off the button, though, that would be appreciated. This is not how this works.
Well, what if we bring in, like, some sort of third party and you can eat them? Like, I could bring you steady food, friend. I got a fucking gang. We're vampires.
I just realized, are we also carrying Harvey? I think we are.
Yes, you have Harvey with you.
Oh, shit, yeah. All right, I got Harvey fireman style over an arm while I'm trying to climb up. My other arm is down.
Good thing he's such a fit fellow.
Yeah.
Easier for you.
Yeah, two days to live.
Yep. So there's kind of like some awkward mumbling on the mic. I'm sorry. I'm very fucking tired, and yawning as a DM sucks. So every so often,
Billy yawned. It was all voice, Billy.
Yeah, that's it. He's yawning in distress.
He's sleeping.
Yeah, real sleepy. So he's like, I don't know if they'll accept victims that haven't fallen victim to my maze.
Well, what if I just bring like four people a week or something, and we jam them in the front of the maze, then they got to go through it, and I could get eaten.
Okay, that's not the worst plan, actually. Okay, but here's the thing, though. Like, I'm going to be honest with you guys. You're all going to die in a minute anyway, so I think this is probably fine for me to tell you. This is kind of my tryout, and I kind of need this to go well. So if you could just, like, die real good, that would be great. Because, I mean, look, if it's just you and me, sure, bring four people in, whatever. But, like, I can't piss off the whale. Like, I can't do it. He'll really fuck me up. So, thank you for the offer. I appreciate it. Please take your finger off the button, because that is not nice. I built this whole trap just for you. So,
oh, man, I got some bad news for you, Billy. I'm going to fucking kill these monsters, and then I'm going to fucking kill you. So at some point, you're going to have to ask yourself the question, am I more afraid of a psychopath who's here or some whale? I'm not saying it's now. You know your answer now. It's been clearer than a negotiation.
Yeah, that is true. Yeah. Okay. But again, if you could just die, though, thank you for the threats. That's cute. But, you know, it must feed. So long, suckers! And then you just see the lights click off in that room.
Ridley, we're going to feed this guy to a whale, right?
I think I might kill the whale, too. We're going to see how this plays out.
All right, so the two monstrosities reach the bottom of the bridge. The bridge is about a third of the way down now, so they're just going to be able to kind of roll forward. The good news is it is getting easier, Everett, to kind of help Iris, because now it's no longer like you're supporting her full weight. Now right. It's more just, you know, like a
steep incline.
Yeah, it's a steep incline, and it's just, frankly, easier for anyone to stand with someone kind of anchoring them.
Yeah.
And you're kind of able to just flop Harvey over the lip, so he'll be all right until...
until it is. Like,
No. Look. Ridley only has eyes for Harvey. We've established this. I feel like he's going to get him out of there safe. Unless he's too busy murdering Billy, in which case, like, bye-bye, Harv. But, you know, we tried.
Okay, I think you guys need a jump, because then I can just let this go back up and leave the monsters over there.
I'm into it.
How close are we to the top?
You are at the top.
Oh, perfect. Okay. Then, all right. Iris, do you want a boost getting across there?
Absolutely.
All right. When I say jump, you jump.
Deal.
All right.
Jump. That's just...
again
hand on the small of your back and just push with you jumping.
We'll give you an extra d10 for the Everett shove. See if you fall with style.
Uh-oh.
Oh, what?
Successes, one on a regular hunger die.
Wait, both of them are crits? Like
they're
10?
Both successes. It's a messy successy! Woo! Yeah! Woo! Fireworks go off as you jump. Yeah, doves fly and shit.
Like,
and then the doves get burned up in the fireworks because yeah, it's very violent. Say,
it's messy, yeah.
We rigged up all the sprinkler systems with blood. Just like in the Blade rave scene.
Yeah, she steps on Harvey's neck, crushing him to death as she leaves.
I mean, yeah, actually.
Oh, come on. God damn it.
Iris, you, Everett, you just grab Iris and push. Iris, as you go, you trip on Harvey, who slides up and off and plunges into the raging water beneath. You see his body bob once and then smash up against a grate where it is held in place. You can see he's still alive but drowning. And his bones probably don't work so good no more. Iris, you land on the other side and kind of Ridley helps you up.
Tyler!
It really is a world of darkness. Iris, for a moment, you're just impressed that you made this jump, and then you realize what happened. Ridley helps you up.
Oh, shit.
Oh, fuck. Okay. How far is the water down, Tom? Like, what are we looking at?
It's like probably a 12-foot drop. It's kind of like, basically, there's just like a bunch of sewage being blasted through under where this bridge would be, kind of out of one grate into another. So like a strong raging current just kind of slamming him up against the thing.
And then I go to take a deep breath, and then I touch my chest. I'm like, fuck, I don't need to fucking breathe at all. Oh no, someone figure out a rope, and then I'll jump in.
Okay. Can you please roll me a stamina and survival check?
Yes, I can. Two successes.
Okay, so I don't feel like Ridley's necessarily a swimming man, but he sure is a floating and bobbing man.
Mm-hmm. He's been on vacation.
Yeah, sandals. It's great. So you kind of bounce and float over to the grate. You can see Harvey, like there's clearly contusions. There's a solid footprint, where Iris stepped on him. He was already pretty fucked up. It looks like being slammed against the grate at full speed, probably broke his spine.
Ah, fuck. Is he conscious? I'm assuming no.
He's kind of drifting in and out because like, he's being blasted with water, so he's also kind of, like, drowning in it out. He's kind of, like, drifting.
Okay, I want to grab the grate and try to haul him up so that at least he can breathe. And yell up to, like, Iris, you got to press that button if you want Everett to get over.
I press the button.
Yeah, with a look of, like, horror on your face, you press the button.
Everett, I got bad news and I got good news. He's not dead yet. But his spine's broken, and he's probably going to be dead soon. I just want to circle back around to my vampire question. Now, we can make him into something. I don't know if his legs would work when it happens. Hate to be kind of brutal, but it's a brutal moment. Otherwise, unless you believe that Christopher Nolan's Dark Knight Rises is true, and we can tie him up in a rope and punch him in the back till he walks good, I'd say he's going to have a bad time in the sewer.
Oh my god. It's because it's now a more viable option to Everett to save his friend's life by completely altering it. It feels like it's no longer a decision for him to make. He'll say he'll just shout out like, Harvey, can you hear us?
Harvey's eyes kind of roll in his head. Ridley, you can try and I'll let you do a wits and medicine, which is literally just slapping him, trying to wake him up.
Okay. It's one success.
His eyes kind of drift open for a moment.
Every time is now.
Ask him.
Oh, you want to be a vampire? Or do you want to die?
His eyes roll back up into his head.
Inconclusive.
That's an affirmative, I think.
Well, I mean, that's not what I know of consent, but I don't want his friend to die, so, fuck it. So, yeah, Tom, I'm going to try to turn Harv.
Okay, do you think Ridley knows how to do this?
Hey, everybody, Tom McGee here, your friendly neighborhood DM, and I just wanted to thank you so much for listening to our shows. I hope you're having a great time. Obviously, we are. I'm probably really stressed because they're probably doing something horrible to me right now, but I hope you're enjoying it, and we're enjoying you being here. And listen, if you want to get a little bit more involved in our show and with the various things we do, you can check out
patreon.com/dumbdumbdice.
Where you can find more information about how you can become a part of the show, how you can screw with me on air, how you can add names and all that sort of stuff. And it's a great way to support us in our ongoing dumb adventures. So thanks very much for joining us, and I will see you out there in the dumbverse.
I don't know, but I feel like he would know interview with the vampire rules. Okay. So that'd be where he's at.
So
which is
tell me the interview with the vampire rules, and I'll tell you whether those rules are true here.
So interview with the vampire rules are you drain somebody until they're about to die, and then you let them drink some of your vampire blood, and it turns them into vampires. He has to assume that. He has no other evidence.
That is mostly true. So I'll say if that's what he's trying to do, that is most of the way there. You'll still need to bury him for him to turn properly, but Ridley doesn't know that, and that isn't the part of the process that needs to be sorted right now.
Cool.
Okay, so... Ridley, you bare your fangs. Here's an interesting question. Do you think Harvey's a good person?
Yeah, we've already established I do.
Okay. So despite the fact that you're trying to turn him, this is going to go against your favorite.
Yeah,
prey.
There's like a test I have to do to purposely
break the
rules.
You basically need to see if you can stomach this. Fuck, what a weird quandary. I know I need to turn you because it's the right thing to do and I don't want you to die, but I can't eat good people. So basically, I might just throw up till I pass out while I try to save you.
Traditionally, it's resolve and awareness, but I have a note that it can be a willpower spend or something. We might just need to check this. Yeah. Or should we?
My guess would be that you can just burn willpower to force it, but let me just check. I can get this fairly easily.
Yeah, let's find out. This is a very weird technicality that we now get to play with.
That's your bane, right?
Yeah, that's my clan bane. I can only eat bad/violent people, and I don't think he's a bad guy.
Yeah, all right. Okay, so venture bane... with resolve and awareness, if you want your character to feed from anything but their preferred victim, you must spend willpower points equal to the character's bane severity. So you should have marked on the second page of your sheet.
I have it marked that I have a bane.
Yeah.
That is all.
I think it's pretty low because your humanity is still pretty high. What's your humanity right now, Ryan?
Humanity is 7.
7? Okay, one moment, please.
Because I'm not a bad guy, but I am a comfortable murderer.
Yeah. I think actually you've been kind of buffering yours because what you're doing isn't dissimilar from what you already did. Whereas for Iris, this is like...
Yeah. It,
anything she does is like a horrible betrayal of who she is. For you, this is like, eh...
Yeah, if she'd still been human and had to work with Ridley, her humanity would have gone down just doing the work.
Yeah, okay, here's my chart.
But her knowledge of how to call a taxi, way up.
Way up, so high.
Day she'll teach him how to attend a social event.
All right, I can't find it, so we're just going to go ahead and say it'll be a 3 willpower spend.
Okay, and how does willpower work, Tom? Because I've never had to spend it before.
It is like wounds, but for your brain.
Oh, cool. Then yes, I will just spend the 3 willpower.
Yep, great. Okay, and then because you're embracing a mortal, you're going to take 2 stains to your humanity there, sir.
Cool. Those are temporary, right?
You can roll to get rid of them later, but they don't disappear if you have a nap.
Yeah. That's what I mean. Sorry. They're not necessarily forever gone. They're just...
They're
at risk.
Yeah.
Gone but recoverable is the idea if I become good people enough.
Yes, roughly. But, I mean, let's not kid ourselves. It's Ridley. Okay.
How many hockey games can he go to?
cool. All right. So you begin to drink. Iris... you watch this happening, and you realize that for the first time, you're directly responsible for the embrace of a human. Because this is, in a roundabout way, your doing. And suddenly the... Because I feel like you don't love being a vampire. So I think for you, this is still very much a curse.
Less than it was at the beginning.
That's fair. No, actually, that's a good point. Okay. Iris, I'm going to give you 1 stain for this. Just because the way I kind of want to play stains is that it's not just if you do an action. It's also if something has occurred that like genuinely challenges your humanity and your sense of self.
Yeah. So that I remove one, right?
You draw a line through one of the boxes, I believe. We'll deal with... I'll have to look up the rules between sessions, but we'll figure out what to do with those shortly. But the idea is that, yes, every time you get a stain, it slowly wears down your humanity until you start dropping levels. Which, incidentally, will make your vampiric power stronger. It just also means that, you know, if you could be up at dusk, now you can't be up until the sun is really gone and that sort of shit. But that's not yet. That is just a possible future for us all.
Ooh.
Cool. Okay. So Iris, you've still got your finger on the button. The bridge is getting pretty low. Everett, you're able to join her now, but, the creatures are rolling across the bridge towards you.
I believe we had found a shotgun with 1 buckshot in it. Did we take that with us?
Yep.
I think we did. I think I'll pick that up, wheel around, and fire it at these shambling mounds or whatever they are.
All right, cool. So go ahead and roll that, please.
Sorry, what was that, Miles? Say that again.
I will stop pushing that button.
Oh, okay.
Great. So it starts going back up annoyingly slowly.
Oh, well, that's kind of handy. Yeah, good thinking.
So let's go with a... I guess dexterity and firearms.
Okay. Where did I put firearms? There we go. That's not bad. That is 1 success and 2 crits. Sorry, 2 successes, 2 crits. The hunger die is just a regular success.
Okay, cool. Yeah. You fire off a blast from the shotgun. The sound echoes horribly throughout this space. You see a bunch of this tar blasted off this creature, and you think... You can see an elongated skeleton inside it. Like, it looks like there's like a rib cage and then like slightly elongated arms and limbs. And it kind of stumbles back, and the other one slams up against the back of it. And you can tell there's kind of a moment of almost the two of them fusing for a second and then starting to like reform.
I wanna open my hands to drop that shotgun, and I wanna like quick draw my pistol out and just try and hit that skeleton inside.
Oh shit. Okay, cool. So yeah, go ahead with that.
Uh Nice. All five successes. All successes.
Holy
on the
shit.
Dice. No crits, but all successes.
All right. So yeah, you fire around directly through the rib cage, just as the sort of black liquid begins to seal over. And as you do, you hear a sound almost like you know, if someone's been like just like sucker punched, like that sort of horrible, like all the air in your lungs rushes out.
Yeah.
There's a noise like that. And it seemingly its whole form crumples inward a bit and seems to kind of collapse in a twitching mass. And the other one just starts crawling over it.
Does that first one appear to be down then?
It does.
Yeah, okay. Well, that's good, but we had the one shot in the shotgun. There's not much around us, right? Like, we're just on this
not
platform.
On this side. Yeah.
And the bars are up behind us now, so we can't backtrack.
Yeah, and there is a creature slamming up against those bars, but it can't seem to get through.
I'll turn my pistol around and face the handle towards Iris and say, do you know how to use this thing?
No.
I'll holster it, mm-hmm. And pick up the shotgun and hold it like a club.
Okay.
And just kind of get ready for this thing to start coming closer.
Iris, can you roll me an awareness and let's go with... Wait, is awareness even a skill? Am I crazy? Yeah, there it is. Awareness and wits, please.
Three successes.
So there's obviously a lot of noise going on. There's the creature slamming into the bars. There's, you know, the rushing water and just kind of the sounds of Everett getting ready. But underneath them all, and partially because of your Toreador lineage, you hear something beautiful and melodic. There seems to be the softest hint of what almost sounds like a lullaby echoing off the walls of this sewer space. And at the far end of the room, so across the bridge, coming out of the leftmost entrance, you see a figure begin to emerge. It appears to be a woman wearing some kind of vaguely tattered but still very fine leather cloak, almost more of a jacket than a cloak. She's got kind of like filthy... blonde hair, her eyes are sealed shut, and she's singing a beautiful, haunting lullaby that's one of those things that sounds like it should belong somewhere in your childhood, but you can't quite place it, you know, those sort of like half-remembered songs. As she enters the room, you actually see the creature that was kind of like crawling over its companion stop, and in a kind of horrible fashion that only really amorphous creatures like this can do, its head seems to emerge from its back, and it begins moving towards her. What do you do?
I don't know what I can do.
You don't have to do anything. I'm just curious.
I honestly don't know what I can do other than just watch it unfold.
Cool.
Creature stopped coming towards us. I don't know why I would do anything.
Yeah, you feel the one that was slamming up against the bars stops as well. So the first creature reaches her, and she just seems to kind of, she doesn't obviously look at it, but she seems to run her fingers through it. Almost Russell Crowe walking through the fields in Gladiator, and or anyone having a memory of home anywhere in any movie way. And then she begins to walk towards the collapsed one And suddenly the lullaby begins to become strained. And you can almost hear her heaving through the melody. And you realize that you can almost hear the hint of a scream.
Uh-oh. I'm on the other side. I'm not sure what I can...
You don't, again, if you do not need to act during any of these sequences. I'm just leaving room in case anyone wants to jump in and do anything. Ridley, by this point, you're now jamming your forearm into Harvey's mouth. He's having a hard time, so you kind of like jam.
Yeah, I was gonna say, it's that classic like monstrous thing where like after I've drained him, it's like you pull back and you get that like slow motion with the water around us kind of sloshing, and then he just takes his own forearm and puts it in his mouth and like bites his own wrist, and then he kind of like jams it into Harvey's mouth. And he's like, "Go drink," because nothing about him stays dignified once it hits reality.
Fair enough. Okay, so as Everett, you and Iris watch, this woman approaches the twitching mound before you as kind of the bridge continues to rise, and as the sort of body of this creature kind of like slowly slides down the bridge. She reaches it, puts her hand in it, and the lullaby becomes a scream. And from the creature behind you and the other creature in the room, you hear what sounds like someone screaming through mud. So it's this horrible, sucking, squelching sound that seems to come from several mouths that appear out of these creatures. And then she rises, begins to sing again, and leaves. Over the intercom, you just hear Billy go, "Oh, fuck." And with that, the creatures leave.
All three of them? Like this?
Well, though the dead one is still dead, but stays the other dead. Two okay. have, the other two have vacated.
Damn. She goes into the tunnel that we were
tunnel
Iris
on the
and
left.
I were going to go.
So you had from this room there are two possible exits. There's a left and a right. She entered and exited through the left. But yes, it's one of the two exits that's on the other side. With the creatures gone, I think we can also safely say that you relower the bridge.
Does Ridley need assistance with Harvey at all?
No, I think he's made the hard call. So now he just kind of drags him up. Harvey is unconscious and badly injured. You'll still need to kind of carry him, until you can find a proper spot to bury him overnight. That's often just done in a coffin packed with dirt.
And we don't necessarily know that.
We do not know that.
Okay.
Ridley definitely doesn't. Everett, you might. I feel
I
like that's
woke
the kind
in
of
a
thing.
Coffin.
Yeah, it is the kind of thing Ellen Fuchs would have probably informed you of. I think the way I would like to frame this is, it was a detail you never thought you'd need, so you didn't pay a tremendous amount of attention to it because the idea of turning someone into one of these things was so abhorrent to you that
unthinkable.
You know, yeah, but you know, it's someone described how to drive a motorcycle, and you're like, I'm never going to have to drive a motorcycle, and now you suddenly find yourself in possession of a motorcycle, and you're like, ah, fuck, what? I remember, okay, kickstand, I know that much. Iris, similarly, you wouldn't have this information either. So regardless, I would say Ridley, you can safely know that you, even by Interview with the Vampire rules, you got to get him somewhere safe to recover. Cause you're not quite sure. Like
yeah,
you were unconscious when this happened. So this is all new to you.
Yeah. I'll take him back to the bar and put him in a coffin and we'll figure shit out.
There's a vacancy in the Martha box.
Perfect.
Great. So, you manage to drag him up on the side. They all kind of help you. They manage to kind of scrounge some rope from amongst all the corpses. You can hear Billy muttering to himself over the intercom. He's no longer in like the little high castle turret thing. But he's clearly rigged a bunch of different rooms for sound. And he's just like, oh, fuck. Oh, I can't believe it. Yeah, that's the whole reason I tried to make the strong one stay on the other side. Oh, fuck. You guys really fucked me on this, you know? This is my maze, damn it.
We're not done with you.
Set Harvey down very gently. Pat him on the face. Stand up. Again, shirtless. He's just wearing torn pants. And I think he's just going to go over. And he'd like to take Billy by the throat and then pick him up.
Billy is on an intercom. He's not
on space now. Fuck me. Okay, sorry, guys.
No, it's all good, man.
What a way to fuck are you, Billy? I know exactly what I want to do. I'm working on a fantasy. Yeah,
you pick up one of the corpses to just be your, like, surrogate Billy.
Yeah, and then I just reach in, and I'd like to, the Predator video game, rip its brain and spine out and say, all right, that was the practice run. They always say, good rehearsal, you're going to have a great fucking show. So where the fuck are you?
He says, you will have to pass through the Hall of Eyes before you can catch me in my Billy Mays here. I'm so fucked.
I start shooting at the glass. I hate this guy.
All right. So in a fit of rage, you empty last couple shells into the glass, which shatters. Unfortunately, he's no longer there. But you can see that once the sort of glass that was harder to see through when it was still there, now that it's gone, you can see that the small office seems to exit to the right. So presumably that would be the tunnel to take, unless you want to go after the weird goo monsters and the singing lady. But my guess is, based on the look of abject fuck this noise that Miles has on her face right now, that is not the plan.
Yeah, also Ridley didn't see them, so he's not even aware. Someone would have to tell him to go that way.
Yeah.
All right, so we go get him. We go through whatever fucking eyeballs he has, and then we can rip his spine out. It'll be fun.
And when you look at Ridley now, you realize he's like extra pale and vampire-y, like he's a little more gaunt. It's not a great look on him, and he didn't start from a great spot.
Everett won't say much because really he completely agrees with Ridley and like we should very much hurt Billy, but it's kind of stuff he doesn't want to say out loud right now. And so he's just gonna start to lower the bridge again.
Great.
And Tom, I was flipping through the stain rules because I'm a bad player, but I knew I was in a separate thing where I couldn't know what was going on. If your touchstone is injured, you take stain because you as a vampire are supposed to protect them from injury or death more than anything else.
Well,
stains all around.
How much do you want me to take, sir?
For an injured, there's a whole chart.
Touchstone damaged by your actions is 2.
Yep.
Touchstone destroyed is 2. Touchstone destroyed by your actions is 3.
I'm going to say 2 because it wasn't your action that led to this. It was Iris's messy successy.
Okay.
So she gets the extra 1, which we already determined. So that all works out. So with that, Everett, you throw Harvey over your shoulder. Iris, what do you say to this plan?
I'm all for it because whatever that lady thing that just happened terrifies me.
Cool. Let's go reckon with Billy Mays.
This episode of Blood and Syrup features the voices of Ryan LaPlante at The Ryan LaPlante on Twitter, Tyler Hewitt at Tyler_Hewitt on Twitter, Megan Miles at Maggie Miles on Twitter, and storyteller Tom McGee at McGeeTD on Twitter. This episode was edited by Ryan LaPlante, and the Dum Dums and Dice logos are done by Decapitated Markers at Decapitated Marker on Twitter, that's MRKR. Our theme songs are What's Really Going On Right Now by Chase Allen Willis and Traffic by Kai Engel. And our ads use the tracks No Control and Chiefs by Jazzar, J-A-H-Z-Z-A-R. All of their music is available on freemusicarchive.org. When it comes to Dum Dums and Dice, you can visit our website at dumdumdice.com. Our Twitter and Instagram are at dumdumdice and on Facebook at facebook.com/dumdumdice. You can also buy merchandise at redbubble.com/people/dumdumdice. And you can join our Patreon at patreon.com/dumdumdice. That's DUMBDUMBDICE. Sleep well, children of the night. Spooky.
Dum Dums and Dice has to give a special thank you to the supreme beings of our Patreon at this time. Christian Menicola, Long Long, The Half-Blind Prophet, James Cuellar, DM Rob, Christopher Little, Joshua White, Olin Anderson, Sue One, Devin Boyce, George Dolby, One True Artistry, Anthony Griffin, and Jill and Noel LaPlante. If you want your name to be added to this list, you can join our Patreon too at patreon.com/dumdumdice. Thanks to them, and a little bit of thanks to you.